Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Now What? A podcast dedicated to helping you find your true potential and live your best life. This podcast is brought to you by the Unity of Bay City Spiritual Center. We are joined with Gail Dolbert. Gail is the minister of the Spiritual Center there at Unity of Bay City. So how are you doing today, Gail?
I am well, thank you. Looks like spring out there a little bit.
Yeah, it does. A little, it's slowly but surely coming on. You know, it's like we get so excited. We're like, oh, it's getting warmer. But we have to remember that it's April showers, May flowers.
Exactly. I was just saying that to myself this morning. April showers bring May flowers.
Yes.
And my daffodils finally did open up, I think, just yesterday. But I don't like to rush it. You know, Mother Nature knows what she's doing.
That's right. Remember that? What's that? Don't try and fool Mother Nature.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't.
There was a commercial back in the day, and it was don't try and fool Mother Nature, and don't mess with Mother Nature or something.
Mess with, yeah, and we
and
mess
then
with
Mother
it a
Nature
lot.
Was like, lightning bolts. And
that's right.
Very good. So Unity of Bay City, it's kind of like a multiplex in a way. Because in my imagination, it's like a multiplex because you have the spiritual center aspect of it, but you also have a community gathering aspect of it. And then you have workshops and classes. So it's almost like a school center as well. And you have all these cool things going on. How do you manage all these different spinning balls? And when I say spinning balls, I mean, like, I imagine the people back in the day, people that are performers and they're almost like balancing artists and they spin balls or plates or whatever.
That's
and to me, it seems like that's kind of like you're the person trying to manage all these spinning plates or all these spinning basketballs.
Yes, that's a good way to put it, because I am involved in every aspect. And what some folks don't need to realize, but it's true, it's like running a business. So because there's so many different, like you said, pieces and parts to it. So I don't teach every class. I don't attend every drum circle, but I do teach a lot of classes. We create workshops. I co-create them with, we have a licensed Unity teacher at Unity of Bay City, and she and I will co-create some things together, or she'll do some on her own. We have some guest speakers. A lot of times they're from the congregation, folks who have public speaking experience and who enjoy doing that will fill in for me sometimes.
Yeah, Tammy just did that back on Palm Sunday.
Yes, she did. Tammy is one of them, and we've got a couple of other folks who enjoy doing that, and I'm perfectly happy with that. But also, I have the office. You know, we have budget to balance. We have so I work with our bookkeeper and with Tammy, who is also the office manager and our marketing specialist. So I work with them, and I have a board of seven people that I work with. And there are most decisions I can make autonomously, but I always like to run things through the board. We meet monthly and or more if necessary. I'll meet with the board president, you know, on a regular basis to set up agendas and things for our meetings. As we care for the physical structure, we've got 5 acres around our building. We've got 4 classrooms and office space. And of course, the sanctuary. We've got our cafe. All of those things and the parts and pieces of them need to be managed, need to have somebody looking out for them. And fortunately, I have an amazing support staff. And the only people that get paid for that, the board isn't paid, it's volunteers primarily that help and step up. Just like you, Scott, helping us with this, create this wonderful podcast. You stepped in with your talents and giving your time for this. So we appreciate you as well.
I feel blessed. Unity, the principles of unity, the core values are so ingrained in my thought process, in my heart. You know, I've mentioned before that my history is unity goes back to preteens, and in a couple different. I went to Unity of Grand Rapids, Muskegon, Warren, nice. Asheville. So there's a. And so I've gotten different flavors of it too. And just like you order a hamburger at one restaurant, it tastes different, or a salad at one restaurant. You can have the same salad, but it tastes different someplace else. I'd like to talk about how you got the business experience to be able to manage all this. But I'd also like to talk about your history is with spirituality or with faith or religion or whatever it is you want to call it. So of those two, which would you like to tap into first?
Well, let's talk about the business part first, because we were kind of talking about that. Yeah. My background that really helped set me up to be able to do all of these different aspects is, well, I started in a dental office many moons ago, and that was dental offices. I didn't run the whole office, but I ran the back of the house with the dentist. And so that helped me be able to multitask and to pay attention to a whole lot of details and moving parts at once. And then I started working in call centers after I left dentistry that talk about moving parts. So I worked as a rep and then got promoted to a position of managing all the incoming and outgoing calls and who needs to be where, what, when, and how, and time on the phones, all of that stuff. So there was another component. And then, so I worked in a couple different call centers over the years, but my calling, then I can just segue into that, is it was always been ministry from the time I was about 17 years old. And I kept saying, when am I going to get to start this ministry part? Because I volunteered in churches when my kids were little and I wasn't working. I actually started in, they call them spiritual life centers now, but they were religious science of mind, which is.
Now, is that new thought? Is like
totally
Unity?
New thought. Okay. It's like a sister organization almost. I have reciprocity with, as do Science of Mind, a spiritual center for spiritual living centers. I could go get a job in one of those, you know, because our doctrine really, our beliefs, I don't even like to use the word doctrine, but the way we teach spirituality through metaphysics is the same. The founder of religious science was Ernest Holmes. And my dad actually introduced that to me. I had moved away from Ohio, and he sent me this book called Science of Mind. And I'm like, I felt like I had written it. It just absolutely, because I grew up in Church of Christ. We went to church every Sunday, all of us. But as teenagers, you know, it started into more positive thinking, like Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller.
Go ahead. What is the, you said, Church of Christ? Is that a specific denomination, or what is it?
It's called the Church of Christ. There's different types of Church of Christ, and all I know is that was the Church of Christ. And just a really traditional, nothing flashy or fancy. I mean, we could sing. Some of them don't sing, you know, they don't use musical instruments or something interesting like that. But ours was just, you know, you go to church and go to Sunday school and then come up and listen to the minister.
Was it Christianity?
Yeah, it's Christian.
Okay.
Yeah. Just kind of a traditional Christian church. Okay. I was baptized when I was 13, immersed. That was scary. Hmm. but I always felt a link, you know, and really with the spirit that we call Jesus, a strong connection with him.
You know, I find I love the symbolism behind baptism. Mm-hmm. I love being washed anew, being clean. Mm-hmm. You know, in some spiritual circles, I've heard of a similar process called rebirthing. which is a pretty intense process for some as well. Have you heard of rebirthing?
I've heard of it. Having been in this spiritual realm and new thought, non-traditional churches like Science of Mind and Unity, there's people from all kinds of religious backgrounds and spiritual backgrounds. And so, yes. And like I would christen, you know, how some churches just christen babies.
Yeah.
In our church, in the Church of Christ that I went to, we did full immersion baptism, and right up in front of the whole congregation.
Wow.
But you have to be 13 and have been going to Sunday school and kind of understand a little bit. So for me at 13, that was just a scary thing. I didn't really understand what it meant. And what it was supposed now, what, and talk about now what?
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah, it's sad they didn't like explain it to you. They didn't like
take
the time
to. Thought they did, but.
Right. We're going to dunk you in water so Jesus can save you.
That's right. You're now I belong to Jesus. That's the song everybody sang as I came up sputtering from the water in the tub, you know, that they had up in the back of the church. And I'm like, oh no, what does that mean?
It's so funny how people in the Christian church are so afraid of ceremony, symbolic ceremony, yet they participate in it so much.
We did communion every Sunday.
Right.
You know, we passed it around. We didn't go up to the minister. We had these, you know.
Well, we just had communion at Unity.
Yeah,
and that was lovely. That was lovely.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed that. I like ceremony because it slows us down a little bit. And what, instead of do this in remembrance of me, meaning Jesus, it's do this in remembrance of you.
Yeah.
You know, of your own self, and in remembrance of the truth of who we are. You know, we're spiritual beings having this human experience, and we can rely on that when we take the time to slow down a little bit. But baptism when I was 13 meant to me was, oh, good, I get to have that little cup of juice and a little wafer on Sundays now.
Yeah.
You know, but later on, of course, you know, I don't know, it was just an epiphany I had when I was 17 that I felt no longer afraid of God. I felt like it was not a deity. It was an entity of love, a power, a presence, the power of love. That is everywhere, present all the time.
It's the power.
Yeah. Sing it for me, Scott.
Yep. Very good. So you were 17 and you decided you wanted to dedicate your life. Was it from a perspective of you wanting to build a better relationship with God, or you wanted to help other people develop a better relationship with God? What was that deciding factor like for you?
I wanted to understand. I wanted to understand what this whole God thing was, and I wanted to not be afraid of God, because when you see the story of Jesus's story, you know, starting at his birth and then leading up to Easter, his ministry in between, how he taught love, how he taught some very practical things, the people weren't taught. Back then, it was all about the emperors and the slaves and emperors and tradespeople, whatever. But he taught about kindness. He taught about love. He taught that, and the Father and I are one. And what he meant was that energy that is created us isn't a deity sitting in the sky judging us. It created us to be creators. And so that's what I got, but I couldn't articulate it at that point. I had a lot of growing up to do. And so I just kept that in my heart. And I really wanted to be a dentist first. You know, that was my first thing I was going to do.
Yeah.
But I had three children instead, which is much more rewarding and wonderful. And then went into ministry. So
between, how old were you when getting into the ministry?
I actually was 50 years old when I went to ministerial school.
Okay, so there is a bit of a gap between your initial inspiration and you actually getting into the program.
It was actually, I was in my 20s. I was in, when I got that book from my dad, I lived in Alaska, and there was a Science of Mind church there. And so I was in my mid-20s, and myself and my husband and our three kids, that's where we went. And I volunteered there, and I volunteered when we moved back to the down to the States.
Because you were in Alaska for a
while. Yeah, yeah.
So when you were 17 and you initially had that thought, that inspiration, that was coming from the Church of Christ perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then there was a period of time having children and getting married where you no longer felt that compelled by that particular faith. Was there an incident or a series of incidents? How did you pull away from the Church of Christ? Or the Church of Jesus?
That book, yes, that my dad sent me. Well, like, okay, I said, it was gradual. We went, you know, first dad and I, and I don't know, my siblings really were interested, and my mom kind of was, that we listened to Robert Schuller and the Crystal Cathedral, and then Norman Vincent Peale, who taught positive Christianity, you know, not fear of God, but and I never really got that Jesus was supposed did what he did to save us. You know, he came to teach us, not to save us.
Right.
And we have to do that ourselves. We're our own creation of humanity. We have full range of choices, but we also have a lot of power to make. Well, everything we make is manifested in our mind first and shows up in our life. And so that's what Science of Mind, Religious Science, aka Centers for Spiritual Living, really made everything make sense for me. When I read that book by Ernest Holmes, I felt like I could have written it, because it struck me so deeply as the truth, as a truth, my truth.
Okay, we're going to pause right there for a minute just so we can get this really quick event cast in. This is a list of activities and events and programs that are happening there at the Unity of Bay City Spiritual Center. Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are joined with Gail Dolbert, the minister at the Unity of Bay City, and we've been talking about her early life and how she was attracted to the ministry and becoming a Unity minister. Thank you once again, Gail, for being here.
You're welcome, Scott. Thanks for leading us through these podcasts. It's pretty fun.
And hopefully,
you know, gives folks a sense of not only who Unity of Bay City is, but who they are, what their search is about. That's, you know, that's the important thing. It's not to try to teach something for somebody to believe in.
Right.
It's to believe in yourself and the power within us. And so those are the kind of tools that we teach at Unity of Bay City.
I often look at it as, you know the phrase, leave no stone unturned?
Yes.
I think that everybody is born into this curiosity. They feel something. Mm-hmm. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people feel that there is this mysterious connection with everything, that they feel like completely in awe of space and the great mysteries of life. And they start flipping these stones over, looking for different answers. And if they don't, unfortunately, they don't get the answers that make sense to them, they stop flipping stones. And they just like in a ho-hum kind of a way, that yearning is still there, mm-hmm. but either they write it off as just being in their head, or maybe thinking that they're flawed, that they're not going to make that connection that they're searching for. And so you mentioned you hope that these podcasts reach people. I'd like to invite people to come flip over the stone that says Unity of Bay City and see what's underneath it, because it just may be what you're looking for. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just goes into the, I looked under that and didn't find what I was looking for. But a fair number of people flip over that Unity of Bay City rock, or the Unity, or the New Thought, and they're like, okay, I can get with that. It doesn't feel shameful. It doesn't feel guilt. I feel good when I leave the service as opposed to bad. I have all these tools and resources that I didn't know were there before. I think I'm gonna take another look at this. And so, listener, if you have a second, go to unityofbaycity.com. Check out the website, see what they have going on. Maybe stop in for a service on a Sunday at 10:30. And then we get together and have an amazing little like light snack brunch, a snunch. We have a snunch after church. And yeah. All right. So Gail, so you're 50 years old and you'd gone through this journey of motherhood and being a spouse and moving all over the place. And I've heard you mention moving to Alaska a couple of times. What was that all about?
Well, I was 22 or so, 23, and I had a 2-year-old daughter. I had divorced her father and been in Ohio, lived almost on the same street, grew up on and lived there and worked on that same road, you know, and I was like, okay, I just really felt, I talked to a gal who had lived in Alaska. She came to the dental office I worked in and had lived there for a little while. And something in me just went, I need to do that. I need to go. And so I did. I found a job in Alaska first, a dentist that she knew, and applied for that and found an apartment. And my little girl and I, with all our worldly belongings, which was a couple of big suitcases, moved to Alaska.
And wow, that is, well, first of all, holy brave. Wow. I mean, it's one thing just moving from one apartment to another. I've moved out of state a couple of times, and it's a little intimidating. You don't really know a lot of people. But to go from, where were you before that?
In Ohio, in Xenia, Ohio, which is where, well, I was born in Springfield, but I grew up basically in Xenia, and my parents and my three siblings all live there, and cousins and in and around that area. I mean, it was where I'm from. And but that's just how my spirit travels. And I have this sense of knowing that I don't even know that I know, but I just knew it was the right thing to do. And that's where I met, 6 months later, maybe close to a year, that I met and I was never going to get married again, never. Mm. But I met him, my second husband, about 6 months after, but it was 3 years before we actually became a couple and got married. And I was married to him, you know, for 43 years until he made his transition just last year. So three kids and, you know, I had two boys and my daughter. And so then we did move because of my ministries, but I was in, you know, religious science at that point, science of mind. And for about 10 years, I worked when we moved back down to Ohio. And then the same thing happened. I was very involved at that church in every aspect because I wasn't working. The boys were little and April was the only one in school. So I heard about this Unity Church and I studied. It's all in the New Thought stuff. By the way, there's Unity Churches all over the world and all over the United States. If you're listening to this and you don't live in or around Bay City, although folks come from Saginaw and from Midland, it's kind of a regional church, but for 150 years that Unity's been around. So it's not like this new fly by night thing. It's
right.
It's deeply rooted in, and now it's pretty much mainstream. It's these principles are like, it's not just positive thinking. It's more than that.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
but anyway, so I ended up at a Unity church there in Dayton, and then went to ministerial school a number of years later after that, after my youngest was in college. So we moved to Unity World Headquarters, which is in near Lee Summit, Missouri. It's Unity Village. And you can check that out too at unity.org.
And you could probably also locate a local Unity church there as well.
Yes, you can. Yes.
Awesome.
So, but yeah, so that was my journey was, I can't say interrupted. I did ask several times, you know, when am I going to get to do ministry? And what I heard in my heart was your life is your ministry, and your life has to, you have to recognize your life as your ministry.
That reminds me of when, so I've heard, so the story goes that when they asked Christ, how should you pray and when should you pray? I believe he said something along the lines of, you should live a life of prayer. Let your entire existence be your prayer.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And that lines up with what you just said about what Spirit told you when you,
yeah.
you know, were asking, when is my time? When is this going to happen? You know, he's like, you know, do it. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if I'd have become a dentist, like I was on the road to for a while, I would have been the same thing, because it was like a ministry when you're sitting with someone who's scared to death, and I knew every movement. If they blinked a little ways, I sensed, you know, what I needed to do, as did the first dentist I worked with. He was an amazing man, and I learned a lot about just kindness. And of course, my parents were really awesome as well. I learned a lot mostly from them, but, you know, it does. It's really comes down to not, you don't have to be a minister to minister.
Right.
So
speak your truth. So what was that? Was that scary for you, or was it just easy breezy? Like you're on the escalator of Spirit and you're just moving along, or?
No, it was never scary. I'm more impatient than I am scared of stuff. Public speaking now, you know, that I had to really work with.
Yeah, whatever you did, your practice pays off.
I hope so, because that was a fear that I had and had to work through during ministerial school and after. So I ended up staying at the Village instead of getting a church right away. I was appointed director of Silent Unity, our prayer ministry that's been around for over 100 years. It was first telegrams and people writing to our co-founders, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore.
Telegrams.
Yeah. So telegrams, and then they installed telephones. So back to my call center background, it's really interesting how that meshed with my ministry, because Silent Unity was, I had 250 24/7. I mean, not they all didn't. It was a 24/7 ministry, and we never closed.
Yeah.
And it was a call center. So I knew how to do that. And I knew how to do prayer. And because I was a practitioner in religious science and then a Unity minister. So
how many calls would you guys get a day?
We would get, let's see. Well, we get about over a million calls a year.
Wow.
And I did a tour of somebody one time that a new employee came up. She was working in another department at Unity. And I said, and she's like, well, so what are your hours? I said, well, we're here 24/7. And I said, we don't close for holidays. We don't ever close. And she's like, oh, it's kind of like a hospital for souls.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Because hospitals never close, and neither does Silent Unity. And you can still call Silent Unity, 1-800-NOW-PRAY. It's always, there's no charge. If you get a hold of somebody that says, for $20, we can speed up your prayer. You know, that's not unity.
Yeah, right.
Please, right. No.
We'll fast check. We'll overnight it to God.
That's right. Yeah, you're on the high road now.
So yeah, that's awesome.
Don't fall for that. Hang up.
You know what I think we should do is I think for an upcoming episode, when we get the on the track, on the pod track, we'll call Unity, Prayer Unity, and just be like, hey, how you doing? This is
Gail,
who used to be your programmer, and now we're doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to just ask you a couple questions about why you do what you do.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That would be fun, yeah. So Unity Village is a wonderful destination place, too. If you're ever in, it's right on the border of Kansas City, Missouri. KCK and KCMO, Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas, near the border there. And it's Unity Village, and it's absolutely beautiful. It was built up over the years by the Fillmores and their sons. And it's they do retreats, or you can just go and just be there. There's a hotel on there now. So.
I was in KC once, maybe twice, but one time in particular, I was there on Halloween, and I went to a really fun concert and had a truly epic experience on Halloween in Kansas City. And I want to say that might have been 2015 or 2016.
Yeah, you were real. KCK or KCMO?
Which is the really big one? The one where like if there was an artist going on tour and they were going to go to
Missouri,
yeah. So that's where it was,
Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah.
Awesome. So now here we are. You said you got into ministry at 50, and you've been at Unity for 5 years now.
Unity of Bay City for 5 years. Yeah.
What did you do? Where were you before that?
I was at Unity Village for almost 10 years. I finished ministerial school, was ordained, and stayed on with Silent Unity. And then I took a break, moved to Idaho because our daughter lived there and we missed her. So we moved to Idaho for a couple of years. And I didn't find a church that I really resonated with. They didn't have a Unity church. And so I started a study group in my home. And then I got really clear that I needed to do church ministry now. And so I started applying in 5 different churches, and Unity of Bay City was the one. I had no hesitation about that.
So what is the process like to apply to become a minister at a church? I've always been curious, like, how does a minister become a minister at a church?
Well, Unity, our headquarters, they keep a list. The churches that need a minister, the spiritual centers that need a minister, tell them that. And they have, you know, a process and things that they have to have ready for candidates. And then the ministers can see that and they apply. We apply through those channels, through the Unity Worldwide Ministry, and then the church gets that information, and then it's up to them to contact the candidates. Yeah. And then many times, if the phone interviews go good or Zoom or whatever, then you go and visit and you do a class and a workshop and a talk and just kind of get to know people.
Right.
And then you go home and wait for a call.
So I think about like the difference between what it must be like to be like a Orthodox or a by the book Christian minister and what it's like to be a Unity minister or New Thought minister, because to me it would feel like the color palette is much broader to be a mm-hmm. Unity minister as it is a religious
a traditional, you know, Christian
traditional
church.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it is. And yet, you know, we have the certain teachings, things that are spirit very well used. And, I don't even like to say the word doctrine, but it's
a track,
the track. Yeah. to really, they're just tools for spiritual living. They're just, mm-hmm. just tools that we teach. And so I applied to 5 different churches because I was like, where would I want to live now?
Right.
Because they're all over the place. They're all over the world, including, and there's several in Canada. I applied to one in Canada. And then 2 of them invited me out. I interviewed on the phone with several, and several of them, and they said, well, we'd like to have you come out. And I'm like, yeah, because I wasn't feeling it, you know.
Right, right.
And then.
Yeah, it was really, I imagine it would have to be, I mean, that's a life-changing experience. Yeah. And what inspired the thought about the color palette and was all the different unique and very colorful personalities that are attracted to the unity experience.
Yeah.
You know, you have your young yoginis who, you know, they're vegan and they're light. And then you have your, you know, your construction worker who's still dirty because he just had to, you know, do an instant repair just before church.
Right.
And he's got some tobacco on his beard. But the thing about it is that what's the cool common denominator is the love. So I imagine that each unity center is also just as diverse as the people that are in it, because all different kinds of people gather and go through the process of becoming ministers.
Yes. It's much more casual in a certain way. I mean, you know, we still have kind of a little bit of a structure ish, you know, on Sunday morning and, mm-hmm. you know, with singing and those kind of things. But it is every Unity Church, because the Association of Unity Churches and Unity World Headquarters, we're not bound by their rules. We're bound by our, you know, as a minister or a licensed Unity teacher, what to keep the principles and the practices, you know, as clear. But like you said, it's very eclectic. Whatever the minister is, whoever the minister is, really sets the tone. But we keep that consistency in the tools that we teach,
right,
and beyond, because you know we have a lot of, you know, like you said, we've got folks doing, you know, chanting, and we have drum circle. We're trying to get a labyrinth. We've got a vinyl one right now, a kirtan maybe. We've got a sangha that meets on Wednesday nights at Unity of Bay City. So, because we're all one, and it's all spirituality is not as complex as we think it might need to be.
So would you say that Unity is more of a non-denominational or a multi-faith?
It's or non-denominational, both? But all faiths are welcome.
That's wonderful. Now, because I, at one point in my life, also considered becoming a spiritual minister, but just a number of different factors didn't lead me down that path. If someone who is listening now felt that same urge that you felt, what steps would they take to see where could they find more information on becoming a spiritual minister at Unity?
You go to unity.org. And you can say, how do I become a minister? Because there are prerequisite classes to go through, mm-hmm. and then you apply to ministerial school. It's a process like any. I went when it was a master's program, but it's more of a certificate program a lot of times, but it's still the same material. They would just had organized it so that we could get a master's of divinity at that point. Yeah, it was all in person. But now, you know, everything isn't in person. You go on campus some, but I feel sad because our class, you know, all the classes before that, we lived on campus in honor around campus. And it was just amazing.
And now it's more and friendship and
yeah. And you still do make a lot of connections. You go to the village, I think. But anyway, it's very rich and experiential. But so to apply to be a minister, you just go through those steps.
And there's other things you can do too, other than just ministry. Like there's,
right.
You mentioned there's the certified teaching.
Licensed Unity Teacher.
Right.
Which is, it's quite a robust program too, because licensed Unity Teachers can be spiritual directors of the church, spiritual leader in usually like smaller congregations. Maybe they can't afford to have a minister.
Okay.
And it just depends on the ministry. Sometimes they're really, very small. And but Licensed Unity Teacher is a very, it's a big program. It's a long road.
Very good. That's interesting. So let's bring it back up to where we are today at Unity of Bay City. And I just wanted to share with you my experience over the last few months of being there.
Okay.
And I'm sharing this in hopes of inspiring anybody who's listening at home, whether they're in Bay City or some other city, who is, you know, listening and is like, you know, there, you're right, there's that rock and, you know, maybe I am interested in turning it over.
Yeah.
My experience, so when I, like I said, I have experience with Unity in the past. So I knew going in what the experience could be like. And so when I went there, immediately the joy and the smiles and the genuine compassion and empathy that everyone had and the way I was embraced by the community. And then we hung out for the like a little workshop, like an introduction to Unity. And I wanted to participate. And it was just really, really nice, really welcoming. And then it triggered something. You know, and that was what inspired me to create this podcast with you. You expressed your gratitude earlier for that. And I'm here to tell you, I have just as much gratitude to express to you, because I really feel that the principles are something that everybody should at least aspire to learn. I believe that it's revolutionary, nothing short of revolutionary. If people could live in the way that is presented in Unity without guilt, based on love, based on acceptance, based on community, it would be a much better place to live. Can you imagine if 45/47 grew up in a Unity church and the core values and principles of Unity, of family, of, you know, golden rule existence and abundance for all. Can you imagine what direction the country would be going in? That's why I was really excited when Marianne Williamson was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was really hoping that those little nuggets that she was sharing with people on the debate stage would be enough to activate people. And I'm sure it did activate some people. It activated me. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And it is, and it brings home how powerful we each are as individuals in creating the world we want to live in. And that's where the other part of Unity teachings, New Thought, metaphysical teachings, brings it home to us as individuals. The choices we make, the thoughts that we think, are so powerful that it manifests out into our world. So if we have a bunch of fear thoughts all the time, of what's going to happen instead of creating what we want to see happen in our own life in a peaceful manner in your own room, you know, being in meditation and taking time to allow your heart center, the love that we really all are, to come forward in our lives. And just, I teach pretty much every Sunday to pay attention to those thoughts, the thought habits. And watch what happens in your life from these thought habits about prosperity, about your health, about the world in general. We can't control that. We can control our own, which then is what manifests out in the world. And the more people that are being more conscious of what they're thinking and what they believe to be absolute truth is what we make up in our head. And then we believe it in our heart. And so when we can say what the world that we want to create and then create it by being kind, by speaking your truth as far as, you know, from a place of love. That doesn't mean we have to go around being all sweet, la la la, joy, joy, happy, happy. It's life isn't that way. But how we recover and all of those things, we really have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for.
And on that note, we're going to meditate on that for a second. We'll be right back. Going to take this quick break to highlight some of the programs going on at Unity.
Perfect.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Gail. I'd like to take a little divot here and look to the future. What are some of the goals for the Unity of Bay City?
Well, if you're talking about this year, it's spring-ish, and there's a group, including you, Scott, that are looking at planting vegetable gardens in our and flowers in our on our 5 acres that we have around the church. That's very exciting. We try to do that every year. We haven't done too many vegetables, but we're looking at that this year. And we're going to start a moth event, a storytelling event in our newly renovated cafe. Classes, we've got some workshops and classes coming up, and also a women's retreat this fall. And we'll invite also women from this Great Lakes region to our Unity Women's Retreat. And so lots going on. That's just gets us to fall.
Right. And if people wanted to find out about these events, that's all at the unityofbaycity.com?
Yeah, unityofbaycity.com. Our phone number's there if you want to call the office and get more information, or have us, if you'd like to give us your email. I swear it will, we don't blast you with anything other than on Wednesdays we send out an email with all the events.
It's like a newsletter.
Yeah, a newsletter.
Awesome. Well, Gail, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time. And I just said I appreciate you being here like 5 times. So I'm gonna say something else there. All right, Gail. Well, it's a wrap. I am glad we had this opportunity. So I had so many questions about you, and now I'm enlightened.
Oh, well, if I rambled on too much, you know, we can always edit. And so I appreciate the time and your talent and to everyone listening. Just follow your heart and open that heart and listen. Know that all is well.